The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Before we get into our impact segment, I've gotten three separate emails from different people saying, please be accurate and consistent and specific about the five deaths on January the 6th. Now, for the sake of honesty, I'm not responding to the email. For those of you listening, I think it is important that I state my position and back it up. So if you missed the previous segment, the House has agreed on forming a panel. It goes to the Senate now, you know, some type of a independent investigation into what happened on January the 6th. The House, nothing independent about that point of view. But the rhetoric has been January the 6th, basically, if I can just be kind of crass, pro-Trump violent people that wanted to take over the Capitol. That's kind of what the media has been telling us forever. And that guy who is in the White House that they tried to impeach, they use that as somehow that was the green light. Told the masses, rush the Capitol, take it over, voter fraud, no such thing. This is what we've been told. Now we live in a time where to even mention voter fraud in social media, you are silenced, you are censored, you are deleted. What do I think? I think there was election fraud. I think there's a lot of election fraud we don't know about. But there were a lot of strange things that happened that night of the presidential election. I don't need to go into. We now have a new president. His name is Joe Biden. We get what we deserve. Joe Biden's on record as saying January the 6th, the greatest insurrection, the greatest amount of violence on American soil since the Civil War. I'm thinking, where were you on 9/11? And really, the Civil War, 500,000 people lost their lives. One woman was shot and killed on January the 6th, Ashley Babbitt, a Trump supporter. So the five deaths, Ashley Babbitt died from homicide, being shot by police as she climbed through a smashed window in the Capitol building. We still don't know who that officer is or why he or she did it. Capitol Hill Police Officer Brian Sicknick has been determined to die of natural causes, despite many media reports saying he was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. I've got the audio, if you think I'm making this up. Another three people died outside the Capitol building, but on Capitol grounds. Two of the deaths found to be from natural causes. Both were men in their 50s who died of cardiovascular disease. The remaining death of a woman in her 30s was actually from a drug OD, which was an accident. She's the woman that you heard, she was trampled to death by Trump supporters. So there's your five, each and every one tragic indeed. But now we live in a time, 3 mile barbed wire fence around the Capitol, guys armed to the teeth, and some of the same folks that say you don't need to be armed, they are. Same people say you don't need a wall as far as illegal immigration go, but they've got a wall. What's wrong with this picture? 888-528-2557. Later in the broadcast, we're going to talk a little bit about Rand Paul has the audacity to say he's not going to take a vaccine. Who is he? Right? But let's talk for a moment about, well, critical race theory, social justice, the state of our country, what's going on? And of all people, we start with a rock singer who is giving interviews and talking about critical race theory and his concern. I'm talking about John Cooper, lead singer of the band Skillet. He said, "We are in the middle of a civil war over social justice and critical race theory." He said, "The only answer, only way it can be solved, is with honest conversations filled with grace." Cooper said, "What kind of Christian isn't against racism? But too often, terms are redefined in the discussion over racism." He said, "I think it'd be very strange for any Christian to, of course, not be against racism." He said, "But I need to know what you mean when you say you oppose it, so that I know what I'm marching for or what I'm standing up for. Can we get a definition of those terms?" Quote, "Honest conversations are really hard to have these days because people are ready to fight." Cooper said, "So I just pray. I'm not suggesting I always do a good job of this, but I always do pray that I could be full of the Spirit of God in order to be gracious towards someone that I disagree with. I cannot be responsible if they will reciprocate that to me, but I really want to have those conversations," end quote. If you're a recent listener to the program, you know Vody Bachum, author of the book Fault Lines, shared some similar sentiments as a pastor and a theologian on the issue of racism and where Christians stand.
"For most Christians, and when most Christians get sucked into the social justice movement, they usually think about one area and one area alone, and they think about race. They think about race. As Christians, we love the brethren. As Christians, racism is ugly to us, it's evil to us. So when somebody says there's issues here related to race and justice, we go, where? Where? Point me in the right direction and let's go to war." And the social justice movement comes, and it sounds innocuous, right? Social justice, racial justice. And bam, here we go, and we're on board. Having no idea that the social justice movement is like a train with multiple boxcars. And there's an engine driving the train. The engine driving the train is critical theory, critical race theory, intersectionality. That's the engine driving the train. And then right behind it comes racial justice, right? And as Christians, we're like, no, we're one in Christ. There's no room for racism. And so we jump on, you know, because we see that boxcar. And then right behind that boxcar is the LGBTQAI+ boxcar. And then right behind that boxcar is the climate justice boxcar. And right behind that, and then there's all these boxcars. And many Christians think that they can jump on to the racial justice boxcar and not be attached to all those other boxcars. And you can't.
Pastor Vody Bachum, author of the new book entitled Fault Lines, speaking on the same topic as rocker John Cooper has been sharing on many an interview. Cooper recently said he wants to be a voice of unity and for unity on this subject. But he said the problem is that if the two sides aren't in agreement on the definition of terms, then how can you have any true unity? Which to me is a point very well taken. And I believe that he's accurate when he said, of course Christians are against racism. But is that the same thing as social justice? And Vody Bachum in his book clearly spells out that it's not. Last thing, Cooper urges Christians to have conversations in love and points to Scripture as the source of solutions. Quote, the Bible gives us a lot of solutions, things like promoting sexual morality, promoting marriage, promoting fatherhood, working hard, teaching the wisdom of Proverbs. I don't hear any of these solutions coming, frankly, from the other side. All I hear is, let's march for systemic racism and against it. I don't know what that is going to do, but I do know this. If you apply the wisdom of scriptures or proverbs to your life, you'll thrive. There's nothing that can stop you from flourishing because you're acting within the design of God. John Cooper. By the way, one more from Vody Bachum on the whole issue of racism and social justice. And if you're a follower of Christ, the bottom line is, what does the Bible say?
There are great ills, great sins, great problems, great wrongs that need to be rectified. All that's true. God has given us a way to deal with those things, to rectify those things. He's given us His all-sufficient word to deal with those things. Let us trust the word of God, not our feelings, not our inclinations. Not our own personal assumptions or assertions, but the word of God. Let us do what the book says. And I'll leave you with this. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Listen to this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this for you. Because this is another great irony of ethnic Gnosticism. Another great irony is that sometimes, and it's, I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes I feel like I'm being robbed of my sanctification. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is if these issues that we're dealing with that are now, you know, at the forefront, if these issues are only about the hearts of white people that need to be made right, then the stuff in me doesn't get dealt with. And I want you to know that as I'm reading this, I'm reading this for me. And I'm asking myself, what does this mean for you when a white brother says something that is offensive? What do you do? Do you fold your arms and wait for him to be sorry? What do you do? What does a non-black person do if they run into ethnic Gnosticism and feel like it's not fair? What do you do? Well, the answer is here. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what my book says.
Pastor Vody Bachum. By the way, maybe a way we can close this segment, we'll leave you with the words of another outspoken individual who is not a pastor, who's not a lead singer of a rock band. He happens to have played in the NBA for a number of years, and many of you know, and most of us really love Charles Barkley. Mike Miller has an op-ed piece about this very topic of racism and what's really going on here and where are the solutions. And he uses Charles Barkley of all people. Now, you may have known about what Barkley shared last month, but let me share a little of Mike Miller's satire and truth in the following commentary. Miller writes, as the crazy train lunacy of racist this and white supremacist that continues, its seemingly never-ending death grip on America, I thought it might be a good idea to take a trip back to the beginning of April during the NCAA Final Four weekend and check in with the musings of the man himself, retired NBA legend Sir Charles Barkley, for his thoughts on the current state of racial insanity. Miller writes, on a personal note, I've always admired this guy, whether I've always agreed with him or not, primarily for one simple reason. Charles Barkley doesn't give a hoot who he offends or not. He says what he believes, and he believes what he says. And if you don't like it, that's your problem. As reported at the time by the Daily Caller, Barkley shared his trademark blunt views on the racial chasm that is tearing us apart as a nation. Like many, if not most of us, Barkley believes the problem is less about white people and black people, but rather about, quote, our system and our politicians purposely working to make us not like each other, end quote. Barkley said the following, and these are direct quotes. Man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. Barkley went on to say, I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome. But we're so stupid following our politicians, and their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class, end quote. Now, Miller shares his view on this topic. Miller writes, of course, I believe Barkley's right. He didn't go this far, but having watched and listened to him for decades, I believe he would have said this. The Democrat Party has worked insidiously for more than 60 years to pit black America against white America, the civil rights movement notwithstanding. Democrats have preached to black people ad nauseum that the Republican Party is the party of the rich, who could not care less about black America. Why? Because the Democrats portray themselves to black America as the great savior, the godsend whose sole purpose on earth is to protect black people from the heartless Republican Party. And here's where the evil genius of the left comes into play. Democrats have also convinced the majority of black America that while we might not have delivered everything we've promised you, just think how much worse off you'd be if we were not here to protect you from the evil Republican Party. Even worse, as we've seen time and time again, black Americans who refuse to live on the Democrat plantation, Clarence Thomas, Thomas Sowell, Tim Scott, Alan West, just to name a few, they are to be discredited, chastised, and destroyed if necessary, for the sin of betraying the color of their own skin. That is not only racist, it's obscenely so. And many of us know that, even Charles Barkley, who doesn't give a rip, who knows what he knows. Do you have any comments? That's some edgy stuff right there. 888-528-2557. I think the mic is still on. We still on the air? I think we are. 888-528-2557. Your calls are welcomed. A little later in the program, Rand Paul, audacity, he's not going to take the vaccine. Man, I went on Twitter last night. Goodness gracious. The herd is alive and well. Or I should say the mob. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Later this hour, Rand Paul is in the news. He is saying that he will not take the vaccine and has received an enormous amount of pushback, of which we'll get into that a little later. Let's share a couple of stories about our state. Right now, if you don't know this, California has the second highest unemployment rate in the country. But it's not like we don't have jobs available. Many business owners are afraid they won't be able to fully reopen, supposedly on June 15th, because for whatever reasons, people either don't want to go back to work, and you hear things about some of the payments they've received or unemployment. Maybe fear has a little bit to do with it, or they don't want to maybe work under certain restrictions. I went to a restaurant, I think it was last week, week before, and the waiter had on goggles, a mask, and a visor. And my first thought was, if they're making you wear that, I don't know how you do it. I suspect part of it was in addition to maybe his own concerns, but state of California, second highest unemployment rate. And then I've had some emails, people saying, why haven't you mentioned this? I actually mentioned it last week. Let me share it again. Thousands of people have been hired by our state. Their role, to knock on doors, ask residents if they've been vaccinated. The goal is to target the, and they even have a term for it, the vaccine hesitant. It's according to the Sacramento Bee. One says this smacks of authoritarianism. The state is paying $10 million to fund the effort. It's being led by Healthy Future California and UCLA in partnership with 70 community-based organizations. Nice name, Healthy Future California. By the way, it's a nonprofit. They filed on April the 1st and already have a status listed as active, and they have a file number. If you've ever tried to file for a nonprofit profit in our state, it takes forever. Yet somehow, Healthy Future America seems like they were fast-tracked. According to our governor, they fired 2,000 people, quote, to make peer-to-peer appeals and provide support to help overcome barriers to vaccinations, end quote. Actually, there's no barriers. There's only people who don't want to take the vaccine. California, it's been reported 39% of residents are fully vaccinated, while another 12% are partially. There are reports that 40 to 50% of healthcare workers have not taken the vaccine. 40 to 50% of teachers have not taken the vaccine. Even 40 to 50% of employees at the CDC have not taken the vaccine. By the way, this is an article you can find online at CaliforniaGlobe.com. It's a Sacramento Bee story. According to the Bee, Veronica Carrizales with Healthy Future California said that community-based organizations are hiring people from the targeted communities to reach out to those very same communities. So far, Carrizales says canvassers have knocked on more than 231,000 doors, made more than 1.3 million phone calls, and have set up 13,000 appointments. Corrales says for most people, they're happy to see us at their doors. I seriously doubt that. I seriously doubt that. But okay, speaking of the shots, Rand Paul, you know that guy. Recently, we heard him have some lively interactions with Sir Anthony Fauci, you know, the expert on such things, where everybody falls all over themselves on the left and in the media, like Anthony Fauci is, he's the answer to everything. Mr. Flip-Flop himself.
Masks are not 100% protective. No, it does, Jim. And I mean, I wear it for the reason that I believe it is effective. It is, it's not 100% effective. I mean, it's sort of respect for another person and have that other person respect you.
There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
What?
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
What do you know about that, Anthony Fauci, way back when? And then you've kind of heard Anthony Fauci recently with the whole Rand Paul interaction. I'm threatening to pull that one out. Very least, it's kind of a colorful exchange. But Rand Paul basically asked Anthony Fauci, hey, look, be honest. Be honest here. What's the deal with the mask now that you have the vaccine?
Well, if you try and keeping up with corona law, you may have noticed it's always changing. For example, first they told you don't wear masks. Now they're telling you you may have to wear three. This time the CDC is changing its social distancing guidelines. We reported the other night that those guidelines are based on nothing. They're essentially made up. At best, they're taken from 19th century research on malaria.
By the way, this wasn't that long ago. This was a few weeks ago that we heard last week, oh, been vaccinated, don't need to wear masks. And the back and forth goes on.
Or cholera or something, tuberculosis. So now the CDC says school children can be kept 3 feet apart, not six. There are also new rules for riding roller coasters in California. You're not allowed to scream because that could be dangerous. It's hard to believe things are real, but they are. Someone who is very well experienced in changing the rules as he goes along and not admitting that he has is Anthony Fauci. Fauci, for example, has already been vaccinated. Great. That's what they want us to do. Lots of Americans have been, millions. But the interesting thing is that Fauci still wears two masks. So is that the science? Once you get vaccinated, you still have to wear two masks? Why are you getting vaccinated in the first place? What are the rules here, and what is the science? Well, someone finally asked Fauci this at a Senate hearing yesterday, and here's how it went.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You got the vaccine and you're wearing two masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts.
What proof is there that there are significant reinfections with hospitalizations and death from the variants? None in our country. Zero.
Well, because we don't have a prevalent of a variant yet.
We don't have a prevalent of a variant yet, but yet, I think 9-10 days later, all of a sudden, overnight, CDC, hey, you don't have to wear masks. Pretty amazing. Senator Rand Paul is from Kentucky. Now he's come out and said he will not get vaccinated because he says he's already had COVID and has natural immunity. Quote, until they show me evidence that people who have already had the infection are dying in large numbers or being hospitalized or getting very sick, I just made my own personal decision that I'm not getting vaccinated because I've already had the disease and I have natural immunity, end quote. Before I read more, those comments, go on social media and look at the mob's reaction. I actually went on Twitter last night and realized, oh, this is why I got off Twitter, because it's a cesspool. It's poison. Anybody can get an account and just vent and be rageful. It's as if Rand Paul, by his own personal decision to not get the shot because he's had COVID, is akin to he's endangering thousands and thousands of people's lives, let alone the personal character assassinations that I saw on Twitter last night. Paul had COVID a year ago, March. He says that the pressure from various institutions to get vaccinated flies in the face of individual liberty. Try this quote on for size. In a free country, you would think people would honor the idea that each individual would get to make the medical decision, that it wouldn't be a big brother coming to tell you what you have to do, according to them. End quote. Some of the tweets last night attacking him, well, what about the CDC? The CDC says you still should get the shot, even if you've tested positive, said a descendant of Pavlov's dog, right? The Milgram experiment, we do what we're told, because the CDC said you should get the shot, well, whether you've had it or not, you should do it. Just like the CDC, as of a few weeks ago, you need to mask up. Then you wake up the next day, don't need to wear a mask anymore. So I'm all for just logic. CDC has recommended that people who have recovered from the virus should get vaccinated. Their argument? Health officials don't know how long natural immunity lasts. Okay. Again, forget the freedom in your own country to decide as you wish with your own life. Let's go with that line of thinking. So the CDC says you need to get a shot whether you've had COVID or not because they don't know how long immunity naturally lasts. This is the same CDC that cannot tell you how long your immunity lasts from taking the shot. Oh, my goodness. And yet we'll take calls on the program. People saying, hey, my boss said I have to get the shot or I'm fired. Right. Oregon last week, first state to require people in workplaces, even houses of worship, churches. Can you imagine? You have to show proof that you've been vaccinated before you can come in the facility without wearing a mask. Northern Cal, Santa Clara, health officials issued an order that said that businesses are now required to determine if you're an employee there, whether you've been vaccinated or not. No, they can't. That's against the law. Now, they may say they want to know and you have to tell them, but no. And can you lose your job? Sure. And you may hire an attorney, and then years later, you may win in court and realize that they violated your own rights. But again, state's going to do what the state's going to do. We're finding this out now with governors all across the country. It's as, thank you, Lord. This is a good pun. It's as if the mask has been ripped from our face. You can now see governors and how they've abused the power that they've been given. Here in California, Governor Newsom, not only after going through the courts, has now been determined not only did he abuse his power when it comes to churches, he had to pay $1.3 million back, and now the church in California, he can't touch them. He absolutely cannot touch them by law. He overstepped his bounds. This is the new finding. Churches are open. They can do as they deem, which has always been the case in a lot of ways. But that doesn't mean what's on the horizon with the vaccination and what the state says you can or can't do isn't going to be one of a decision of conscience, and you may pay the price in some way. 888-528-2557. We'll continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. A couple of stories that are follow-up to the do I take a shot or do I not take the shot? CDC says it's now investigating reports of heart inflammation in teenagers and young adults who've received one of the quote-unquote vaccines. COVID-19 Vaccine Safety Technical Work Group says they will investigate and find what the determinations are to vaccine recipients. Agency said that the vaccines using the mRNA technology, which are Pfizer and Moderna, appear to be causing the issue. Vaccines using mRNA, which are relatively uncommon, use messenger ribonucleic acid to create a protein that prompts an immune response within an individual, while the J&J vaccine, if any of the three are a vaccine, it would be J&J. They put part of the adenovirus into the system, which isn't replicated. It's basically, if I understand right, just dead cells. So the body responds it along those lines. Reports of heart inflammation have been mostly in adolescents, young adults, more likely to occur in males. Dr. Amish Aldalja, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, told Reuters that some of the vaccines can cause heart inflammation, says it's important to monitor if it is directly related to the COVID-19 shots. Israeli Ministry of Health said last month that it's monitoring a small number of cases of people developing heart inflammation there after getting the Pfizer vaccine. Y'all remember Scott Atlas? He was President Trump's special advisor on the pandemic task force. He also, I think, still is senior fellow for the Hoover Institution at Stanford. Very sound, logical, always talking about the pandemic in clear and understandable terms. Well, he is now really speaking out hard against the lockdowns. He says not only has that been a heinous abuse of power, but the lockdowns failed to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. In a recent interview, Atlas suggested that the consequences of the lockdowns, which he says were largely fear-driven, will be felt in our country for many decades to come. Quote, we will have a massive price to pay for what was done in the United States. The consequences of the lockdowns have been enormously harmful and will last for decades after this pandemic is completely finished. He said initially imposing the lockdowns may have been appropriate because the world was reacting with imperfect knowledge. But he said as time went on, the restriction of movement orders implemented pushed short-term measures to prevent the overcrowding of hospitals and healthcare facilities, ended up being a disaster. Atlas said rational thinking and critical thinking disappeared, and lockdown measures were driven by fear. No longer was the goal to prevent the overcrowding of hospitals, but then it gradually shifted to stopping cases altogether. Quote, fear is very powerful. It was really shown how powerful it was during the pandemic. Many people bought into it. They thought it was a small price to pay to get things sort of under control. But the public health policy experts suggest that a frenzy took over out of fear, out of a lack of leadership by the faces of public health to put things into context and perspective and to recognize immediately what the consequences of these lockdowns would be. Never in the history of the world have we locked in and quarantined healthy people. Atlas says that's a big reason why lockdowns were never recommended in prior pandemics. I just said that. So those rules, those simple, rational, logical assessments were thrown out the window. Says lockdowns have ultimately failed. They failed to protect the elderly and high-risk individuals in the early months. Meanwhile, countless others have suffered due to diversions of medical resources. Quote, we saw even in March and April of last year, lockdown policies were number one, failing to protect the high-risk people. People were dying. They were elderly. Nursing home deaths made up to 40 to 50% of all deaths. At one point in Minnesota, 80% of all the deaths were in nursing homes. While Americans were skipping chemotherapy treatments, people who had suffered acute strokes and heart attacks were too afraid to call an ambulance as they didn't want to be in a medical setting. Majority of live organ transplants weren't conducted during the onset of the pandemic. And then Atlas said, and then you have child abuse, domestic abuse, opioid deaths, suicides surged. There's been a dramatic rise in young people suffering from depression and anxiety. Quote, I think that it is still somehow held by many people that, okay, the lockdowns are an economic harm, but we're saving lives. Scott Atlas says, no, you're destroying families. You're destroying lives with lockdowns. You're literally killing people. Citing a June 2020 data from the CDC, Atlas said one in four young adults even contemplated suicide. Says the lockdowns failed. They still fail. It's a disgrace. It's a heinous abuse of the power of public health experts to do what was done. I suspect, not knowing anything, just my own calculated guess, we're going to start hearing about climate change again. Now that deaths are down and we're in the summer months when the virus tends to go away. But climate change. Lockdowns, climate change. Well, I've seen stranger things. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow with another program. If you have anything you'd like to communicate, maybe a confidential email, some thoughts, maybe even a guest suggestion. We've got a couple of guests in the work this week, in the works, hoping to hear a confirmation soon. And if you even have a guest suggestion yourself, franksontag@kkla.com is my email address. And it is a confidential email. I am the only one. I don't have a staff of 40 that goes through my emails. It's just me. franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.